Music with Meaning presents an interview with Rasputin. Listen to this charge. We all know what a dark drama is being enacted. In the middle stands an enigmatic, tragic, comical figure, a sort of ghost from another world or a survivor from the gloom of centuries. And he's not alone. Is there not standing at his back a mass of people, a motley group, worshipping both him and his sorcery? It's our duty to cry a warning. The church is in danger, and the state, too, is in danger. Now, these accusations...
These sound like the accusation against Christ.
But they're serious. They were made by serious people, by the Russian parliament, the Duma. They were well-founded.
Parushka, the little mother.
Oh, the Tsarina.
Tsaritsa.
Tsarina. Well, anyway, okay.
Tsaritsa said that I was the true Christ.
You, Rasputin? With your dirt and your drunkenness and your sexual orgies.
But it was not true. I wasn't Christ. They got things into their heads.
Yes, and how much did you do to help them get those things into their heads?
Sometimes when God needs a messenger, it will be somebody like me.
You were accused by some historians of contributing directly to the cause of the Russian Revolution. Because of your carrying on with the Tsarina, I mean, Tsaritsa, I'm sorry. You were accused by many in the church of belonging to a sect that practiced flagellation and incest, promiscuity.
Clisti.
What was that?
Clisti.
Ah, the name of the sect. And you were accused several times of raping children, young girls. You were even accused of raping a nun. You were accused, time and time again of interfering with the government of Russia before and during the First World War and before the Revolution. You were accused of being a drunk, of being a charlatan, of being a seducer of the Tsaritsa, of being a German spy. You're not as tall as I would have thought.
Ugh. I'm accused of being short. I confess to not being as tall as you thought.
It's just that we have this image of Rasputin the mad monk.
Never! Never! Never I was monk. I was Staretz, holy man.
You weren't a monk?
No.
Oh, so that part's not true?
Maybe the rest is not true.
Well, I think if there's as much smoke as there was around you, there's got to be fire there somewhere. What I'm trying to get at is, we've got all these accusations against you on the one side and what you say on the other. And there must be some kind of truth in the middle.
Why must the truth be in the middle? Why can't what I said be the truth?
Because there were so many serious, careful people who wrote down all these charges against you, that you were a drunk.
Everybody said I was drunk. Lo-li-li-li-li, you don't sing song. You play guitar? Everybody said I was drunk. But I never drank vodka, only Madeira.
Yeah, well, you're not exactly sober right now.
But it was no the drinking that started the accusation. It was the accusations that started the drinking.
And I suppose it was the accusations of sexual excess that started your sexual excesses?
Let me tell you about when I was boy.
No, 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 I can't let you off the hook on this issue so easily. Now, we really have to deal with all these charges against you.
But in order to deal with them, you have to know why these charges were made and by who. I was born in Siberia.
1872.
The village of Prokhovskoye, province of Tobolsk. We had a farm. We were mujiks, peasants. I was different from other children. I could see the truth when others couldn't see it. You are a little boy, and you are lying sick in the house. Some men are talking to your father about a horse that was stolen in the village. All of a sudden, it come to you that the horse thieves. It's one of the men talking to your father. You say so. The man gets angry. He sells lots of things. But it turns out that it was the horse thief. How did little Gregory, who was sitting in the bed for days, know he was the horse thief? The story of a little boy doesn't not interest you much.
Oh.
Years later, a man came to me to hire me to take him to the monastery in Rekutra.
Mm-hmm.
I went with him, and I spent lots of time in the monastery. In the forest, near the monastery, lived an old man. People think he's crazy. He wore chains all the time, talked to the chickens and the hat. People from all over Siberia come to see Father Makary. He advised me.
I just want to make sure that all of this is getting us somewhere.
How will you know until I'm finished? How do you know a joke is funny until you hear the end? How do you know a parable means something till the end?
Is this a parable?
If it teaches you anything. Anyway, I went back to the village, and the people from the village used to come to my cellar for evening prayer. Now in this village there was a priest who didn't know like this. He said I was taking away his congregation from him. They were listening more to me than to him. He was jealous. They were all jealous.
Jealous? You're telling me that all these accusations were made because people were jealous of you?
Yes.
Well, I have to say, I find that very difficult to believe.
I don't care. You have no ladies here, only men. You should have some nice ladies here. Make it more fun.
You say you don't care. You mean to say you don't care whether people believe you're innocent or not?
Even if I were guilty, God would forgive me.
Ah! Now look, that's far too tidy and neat and easy for you to get off the hook. On the one hand, you say the accusations had no foundation because they were made by people who were jealous of me. On the other hand, you say, even if I were guilty, God would get me off the hook.
Yes.
It's just too neat. It's too easy.
Give me an accusation.
I have given you all kinds of accusations.
Give me one.
All right. I've got some of the records right here. Yes, here we are. September the 2nd, 1900. Lisa Viete Nikolaevna visited the police station at Tobolsk, and this is right from the police records, and accused you of trying to murder her. Her story was that she saw you in a field having sex with two girls. She yelled at you to leave the children alone. You attacked her and tried to murder her, but she ran away and hid until nightfall.
When did she say I was in this field trying to rape those girls?
The 31st of August, the last day of August.
In that day I was in Kazan. Kazan is 600 miles from Tobolsk.
She said she saw you do the deed near Kazan.
She testified on September the 2nd?
Yes.
How did she go 600 miles in 2 days?
I don't know.
Neither do I.
If all these accusations were so easy to disprove, why did people keep on making them?
If you cannot prove the bad, you will try to disprove the good.
No, that's not what I'm trying to do at all. I'm just trying to figure out some way to get at the core of your story. You know, I can read all these books and reports that talk about your sexual excesses and your meddling in politics, exerting too much influence over the Tsaritsa, who already influenced far too much. But then I can read in the same book that you claimed to have healed many people by spiritual methods, and to have prophesied a great many events.
I did not do this.
Ah, you didn't do this.
God did this, through me. The Tsar and the Tsaritsa wanted a male heir to the throne. There was a doctor from France who guaranteed the Tsaritsa that he would produce for them a son. Well, in time, Matushka seemed to be pregnant. She grew bigger and her breasts swelled. But she gave birth to nothing. Air. Sometime later, I made a prophecy. I prophesied that in a year's time, the Tsaritsa would have a son. In a year's time, she had a son. God did this through me.
Well, it could have been a good guess.
Tsarevich, he was a bleeder.
A hemophiliac.
Yes, he was a boy. He had to play with soft toys. He always had a guard for him, Nagoni the sailor, because if he was cut, he was likely he would bleed to death. When he was 8 years old, he had a bad fall, and he bruised himself very badly. 3 doctors looked at him and considered the case impossible. The Tsaritsa told he would die. She had them send me a telegram, and I prayed for the boy. I sent them a telegram back saying that God had seen their tears and had heard their prayers, and that their little boy would not die. The next day he was better. He improved markedly. I also said that when the boy would become 12 years old, he would be all right. God did this through me.
I think I finally figured out what's bothering me about all of this. I can accept the biblical prophets and healers because that was 2,000 years ago, but you were doing these things in my father's lifetime, 60, 65 years ago. Are you all right?
I was a boy. I saw strange things. I grew up, I was married, and I went to the monastery. Father Makary tells me to walk to Mount Athos. I went to Siberia, to Greece, all those thousands of miles in my bare feet with the chains of penance hung around me. I come back, and I preached love. I prayed for the recovery of others. I had prophecies made through me by God, and I know those things were true. And I became close to the Tsar and the Tsaritsa. All the people in the church were jealous and slandered me, and the nobles and the politicians slandered me because they knew that I had the faith of the Mujiks, the peasants, and I had the faith of the Tsar and the Tsaritsa. I could understand their jealousy, but sometimes I saw in their face disbelief. I saw that they thought I was using my God as a tool for personal power. They thought that even though I turned down a huge sum of money and I gave away all the riches that they were given to me and I refused to take official position, they still thought that. They didn't believe the prophecies and the cures. What you say might be the reason why.
What's that?
Because they were too near.
Couldn't it also have been that you made good guesses? That there were a lot of coincidences? You analyzed the situation pretty intelligently and did what any intelligent man could have done?
What is to prevent a good guess from being a prophecy? What is to prevent a coincidence from being the will of God?
Okay, let's move on to something else. When you died, when you were murdered, they announced the fact in the theatres, and the people cheered.
I can't believe that.
But after all these wonderful things that you're supposed to have done, the healing, the prophecies...
Most people didn't know, or they didn't believe. They believed what the powerful bishop said about me. They believe it because I will not support them in their political views, the bishop. They believed what the politician and the noble said about me because I would not intercede for them with the Tsaritsa and the Tsar. They believed what those politician and noble said that, oh my God, that I slept with the Tsaritsa, that I was a spy for the Germans.
And of course you hadn't done anything wrong at all.
Of course I sin. No man is without sin. I was a man. Sure, sometimes I slept in the bed of a woman who was not my wife. Salvation is impossible unless one has been redeemed from sin. And true redemption cannot be achieved unless sin has been committed. Are you without sin?
No, of course not.
Are you repentant? If you are repentant, God will forgive you. God gave you a body. He meant for you to use it.
I understand.
No, you don't.
Well, perhaps not in the way that you...
You would like to talk about something else.
Well, yes, I would, as a matter of fact. When we began to talk some time ago, you were weaving drunkenly around these chairs, and you've been drinking steadily ever since, and getting more and more sober. How do you explain that?
I have no explanation. It happens all the time. When I talk of spiritual things, I become sober. Maybe the Lord means it this way. I don't know.
May I ask you something about the manner of your death? You were lured to an apartment by some nobles and politicians and given some poisoned wine and poisoned cakes.
Yes.
And then, when the poison apparently didn't work, your would-be assassins began to get a bit panicky and someone ran and got a pistol and shot you in the back.
Yes, Felix Yasafar invited me to his place to meet his wife. She was sick and he asked me to cure her. So they gave me some cakes and some wine, and I drank the wine, but then he shot me in the back.
And then there was a doctor there who came and pronounced you dead on the floor of the apartment.
The doctor drove the car.
And then one of the witnesses who saw the whole episode reported that after you'd been pronounced dead, you leapt up and tried to strangle this man. Then I think they shot you again, they threw you down, somebody came and kicked you in the temple with a heavy boot, and still you were struggling. And finally they tied you up and put you in a car, they beat you with clubs, they drove you to a bridge over the River Maver, and threw you into the river, and this was in the middle of December, so it was probably partly covered with ice.
Yes.
You say yes, as if you remember all that.
I was not dead yet.
Yes, and there's a witness who reported seeing you still, after all of that, struggling to get out of the river.
You don't believe this?
Well...
Along with all the rest, you don't believe this?
As a matter of fact, I do believe this.
You believe that a man can be shot, poisoned, shot again, hit with a club, kicked with the boots, thrown in the river and still struggle for life?
I've read the coroner's report. I've read the actual report on that.
There are doctor's reports on the cures God gives to me. They tried 9 times to assassinate me before they succeeded. They tried to shoot me. Heliodor had one of his disciples, the whore, the prostitute Griselda, stab me. I was in the hospital for 3 weeks. People did not know if I would live or die. They tried everything to kill me. They tried to run me down with a sledge in the snow like a dog. Through the years, they tried 9 times. On the day before the 10th time, what day was I murdered?
It's in here. I think it was the early hours of the morning of December the 17th, 1916. That was the Russian calendar at the time, so that makes it the 30th of December by our calendar.
Oh, on the day before, I wrote a letter to the Tsar.
Yeah, I have that letter here. You said, I feel that I shall leave life before the 1st of January. I wish to make it clear to the Russian people, to Papa, the mother of Russia, to the children of Russia, that they should understand. You said, if I am killed by common assassins, by Russian peasants, the Tsar of Russia has nothing to fear. He will remain on his throne and govern, and his children will rule Russia for hundreds of years. But, you said, if I am murdered by nobles, the nobility will have my blood on their hands and will not be able to cleanse their hands for 25 years. The nobility will leave Russia. Brother will be set against brother. They will kill and hate for years, and for 25 years there will be no nobility in the country. If you, the Tsar, hear the bell which tolls my death, and if you find it was your relations who murdered me, not one of your family will remain alive after 2 years. And it's interesting that that prophecy came true. You were murdered by the nobles, and within 2 years the Tsar and his family were shot in the revolution. Well, I guess I don't know whether I'd classify that as a miracle or another shrewd guess.
It being a shrewd guess does not prevent it from being prophecy. It does not prevent it from being the work of God. There are explanations for the plagues that beset the Pharaoh's Egypt. The explanation does not prevent it from being the work of God. We live today so far from the days of Christ and Mary, and all we see are the differences. We see an automobile, and that is different. We send a messages by telegram, and that is different. But walk as I ever walked through the street of the Holy Land, and you will see that it is all the same. Nothing there has changed. I was not educated, but I was meek in spirit. I sinned with wine in bed of woman, but I repent. I made myself weak before God. He forgave me. If a bishop does not have a meekness, he will weep if he doesn't have a silver cross. But if he has a meekness, a tattered cassock will please him. And it is the tattered cassock that the crowd will fall on. Jealousy is as insidious as a serpent. We have sunk into slumber and fallen to evil ways. The Lord awaken us.
Rasputin, where you are here. Depends on who's writing the story. One day the truth will be revealed. Rasputin, Rasputin, where you are here or here. Depends on who's writing the story. One day the truth will be
saviors have to suffer the hatred of the people they're trying to save. They always have faults for which their enemies put them in the grave. A nice juicy story about its leaders is what the public enjoys. And when their failures are exposed, the people always will rejoice.
Rasputin, Rasputin, who gave you your power? Were you holding Russia together in her dying, desperate hour?
He really loved the Tsaritsa. Did he save the Tsar's only son? Depends on which side writes the history, and which side are you on?
Rasputin, did you have God's love in your heart? Did his truth expose your enemies, for which they hated you from the start? Rasputin, Rasputin, where you a hero or heel? Depends on who's writing story. One day the truth will be revealed. Rasputin, Rasputin, where you a hero or heel? Depends on who's writing the story. One day the truth will be revealed.
the story. One day the truth will be revealed.
Rasputin was brought to you by Music with Meaning at CPO 220 Athens in Greece. Rasputin was played by Angelo and the interviewer by Simon Peter.